May Christ be our light. May his words speak to us now. Amen. It's a relaxed Saturday morning. You are sitting on the sofa enjoying a nice cup of tea. Just then you hear the postman arrive. So you put down your cup of tea and scurry off to see if there's anything interesting. After a few builds, the first interesting item you come across is an invitation to a party. How wonderful. You check to see if your diary is clear, and it is. So you pop the invitation on the mantelpiece. Continuing to sort through the post, you notice a second invitation. It catches your eye because it is full of colour. You have been invited to another party. However, it clashes with the first party. You're going to have to choose. Which invitation will you accept? That is the choice presented to us in Proverbs chapter 9 this morning. There are two parties hosted by two ladies. They're both calling you to come to their party. Two invitations. Which party are you going to go to? The one hosted by Lady Wisdom or the one hosted by the woman Folly? Please do have the Bibles open in front of you at page 641, because we're going to be looking at what the text tells us about these two parties. Might be on 642 in some of your Bibles. Let's begin with the first invitation, Lady Wisdom's party. Lady Wisdom's party, that's verses 1 to 6. And in verse 1, we see how Lady Wisdom has her beautiful house prepared. In verse 2, she has got the food and the wine ready. Her table is set, and what a banquet it is. The best meats, the finest wine mixed with herbs. And now look at verse 3. Her invitation is sent to everybody in the city. Nobody is excluded. Lady Wisdom's call is broadcast to all types of people, very similar to what we saw at the start of Proverbs 8 last week. So Lady Wisdom goes to the highest point of the city and calls out to everybody, "Come to my party." We also saw last week how the fulfillment of Lady Wisdom's call is to be found in Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to note how his invitation is exactly the same. So in the New Testament, Jesus invites us to a party. He invites us to the heavenly banquet. He too extends his invitation to all kinds of people. And we see that in the ministry of Jesus, don't we? I mean, he went out and he mixed with everybody. One minute you see him eating with the wealthy, and then he's with the poor and the beggars. He welcomed children. Because you see, God is not a snob. Everybody is welcome at his party. There's nothing exclusive about it, and the finest fare is available for all. Or take Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, famous verse. Jesus says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Well, back in Proverbs chapter 9, we see this invitation being pictured as Lady Wisdom inviting us to sample the very best that God has got to offer. The food she offers is a metaphor for the benefits of heeding Wisdom's call. And again, we saw some of those benefits last week. Remember how Lady Wisdom offers things more precious than silver and gold. Her way is the way of righteousness and justice, truth and spiritual prosperity. And of course, Jesus also uses food as an illustration. John 6, verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. But anyway, you're busy reading this invitation to Lady Wisdom's party. Just then you notice there's an additional clause on it. You see, this invitation is not just for an evening. The invitation calls for complete change. Once you enter Lady Wisdom's party, you can stay there forever. Let's take a look at verse 6. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. The invitation to the party is for us to leave behind our simple ways, our sinful ways. And the reward is life. Again, John chapter 6, verse 51, Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Accepting the invitation to Lady Wisdom's party means coming to Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we receive eternal life. But it does mean leave our simple ways behind us. In fact, a more accurate translation of verse 6 might be, leave those foolish ones and you will live. In which case, the call is no longer to hang around with those who will be heading off to the other party in town. That's not to say we won't have anything to do with them. But it means we will cease to go their way. I remember one occasion early on in my Christian days, meeting up with an old friend, and he was a bit of a rebel, really. And over lunch, we were chatting. I said, do you want to come to see this band tonight? And he didn't seem to be too impressed. Well, you know, surely there's something more exciting. Just then, some other friends of his came in. And they invited us out that evening. And my friend's face lit up. And he said to me, Peter, you just got to come out with these guys. They are such a riot. You know, they're always getting thrown out of restaurants. Such fun. Well, this brings us to the decision that has to be made. You have finished reading the first invitation, the invitation to the first party. Now you pick up the second invitation, the colourful invitation. Because in life there are two invitations. Two invitations to two different types of party. And we're faced with that choice. To which party shall we go? The one hosted by Lady Wisdom, or the party hosted by the woman Folly? Because that is who is inviting us to the second party. The second invitation comes from the woman Folly. And if you look at verses 13 and 14, you see what she's like. Her voice is brash and loud, quite appealing to many people, such as my friend, who I met up with for lunch. But she basically is saying, come on, guys, let's party, let's go wild, let's have a riot. I remember one young woman, she must have been probably about 20 or 21 at the time, and she noticed that other young people of her age were going out and having a wild time. Usually too much drink would be involved, and the usual things that follow afterwards. And she thought, well, I must be missing out on something. I want to have fun too. I want a party and a laugh. Well, that's the lure of the second party. And I guess that young lady would have gone off like a shot with my friend's group to get thrown out of that restaurant, or restaurants. Let's take a closer look, though, at the woman Folly. Verse 13, she is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house, and the picture we have of her is somebody quite slovenly, almost a harlot. And notice, though, where she offers her invitation, and to whom she offers it. She offers the invitation to the same people and in the same places as Lady Wisdom. Her invitation is delivered to the same addresses. So Woman Folly also goes up to the highest point of the city, and she calls to all who pass by. The invitation, verse 16, is identical to that in verse 4. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Well, when Lady Wisdom calls people to her party, she does so in order for them to change their ways. She wants the simple to gain prudence and gain understanding. Leave your simple ways behind and live, she says. But not so the woman Folly. She doesn't say that. There's no verse 6 here. The woman Folly does not call for repentance. Stay simple, she says. You know, you don't need to change. Of course you don't. Look, all the ways of sin can remain in place. In fact, I have even more naughty things for you to enjoy. Verse 17, she says, stolen water is sweet, food eaten in secret is delicious. And here we have the attraction of the forbidden. You see, the woman Folly, she hasn't got wine, she's only got water to offer, but she certainly knows how to sell it. Forget the fine wine, forget the best food at the other party, she says. I may only have water, but isn't it sweet? It is forbidden water. It is stolen, and that makes it delicious. That's where the fun lies. Back in about 1982 or so, at my school, we discovered a stash of army rations right at the back of the drama cupboard. And we thought, great, it might be 4 years out of date, but it's time for a midnight feast. So all the items were sneaked upstairs into the dormitory. And I must admit, the midnight feast for us teenage boys was great fun. These old tins of compo rations must have been disgusting. We had mock turtle soup, meat pie in a can, all eaten cold. Yuck. But it was delicious. Why? We were breaking the rules. Scoffing away at midnight in the dormitory, where no food was allowed. That is what made it so sweet. We were in control. We were defying the rules. We were defying the headmaster. I wanted to look at David Ives at that point. It was the same with the chip runs we did. Every so often, we didn't have to be hungry, but somebody would sneak out, go down the fire escape, and off to the fish and chip shop. The thrill of somebody sneaking out the window, it was just too much to resist. But now you see, we are talking the language of the woman Folly, because that is her attraction. It's the lure of the illicit. Now that might be the lure of internet porn, or the attraction of tax evasion, or maybe adultery. Look at how successful the Ashley Madison website has been. Or it might just be receiving the credit for somebody else's hard work, something stolen. How delicious, says the woman Folly. You know, you can almost hear the voice of the serpent in the Garden of Eden at this point. Do you remember what the serpent said? Genesis chapter 3. The serpent took one look at Eve and said, did God really say you must not eat of that tree, the knowledge of good and evil? You're not going to die. God's being a spoilsport. Go on, you know you want to. It is forbidden. Take a bite. However, look at the end result for those who go to the woman Folly's party. The end result is death. Verse 18. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. Lady Folly's party may look loud and colourful, but it's the place of death. People there are fooling themselves into thinking they're having a great time. They're saying life is to be lived. But her house is actually the graveyard. The message is clear. Do not accept the second invitation. Rip it up. It might look colourful. It might sound attractive and wild. But to accept the invitation of the woman Folly is to join those who are already dead. How much better to accept that first invitation? Verse 6, leave your simple ways behind and you will live. We have now finished reading the two invitations. We have seen how both these women call to us. One calls us to be wise, and there is a cost to that call, but huge benefits. Life as it was meant to be lived. The other one says you don't need to change. But the woman folly is deceptive. Her way leads to death. Let's just have a quick look at verses 6 to 12 in the middle. Because these fill in a bit more detail as what it means to go the way of wisdom or the way of folly. Take a look at verse 6 again. To accept Lady Wisdom's invitation is to eat some humble pie. We need to accept that we are simple and that we need help to change. We cannot do it by ourselves. And this is a challenge for us, I think, because we like to think we're wise in our own eyes. We like to be in control. We like to make the decisions and buck authority. Accepting the invitation to Lady Wisdom's party is a bit humiliating. We have to accept we are simple and that we need help to change. We see that clearly as we go into verses 7 to 9. Let me just read those again. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Well, that does happen, isn't it, when we try and advise somebody who's not interested. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, though, and he will love you. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. A wise person is the one who accepts correction, one who admits there is still much to learn. And that is what it means to be truly humble. But as I say, human nature is a strange thing. We don't like receiving correction. Our very nature calls us to go the way of the woman folly. So verse 7, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. I mean, I see that when my wife Lisa tries to lovingly point out some blunder I did. Why is my instinctive reaction to go on the defensive and maybe find out all her blunders? She doesn't have any. But by instinct, we don't like correction or rebuke, do we? Look again at the end of verse 8. The wise person, the person who accepts the invitation to Lady Wisdom's party, is the one who will listen to correction and rebuke. Verse 9, the wise person is the one who wants to be wiser still. And to do that, we need to be humble. We need to listen to those who correct us and rebuke us in love. We need, ultimately, to listen to the word of the Lord. As I say, the mocker would rather fight back. The mocker is the one who stubbornly won't listen because he or she is too proud. Are we too proud sometimes? The one person, though, that we really do need to listen to if we want to be truly wise is Lady Wisdom. And as I've already mentioned, listening to Lady Wisdom means listening to God and his son, Jesus Christ. And here we come back to the heart of Proverbs, and it's there in verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's where true wisdom lies. In listening to the Lord, in respecting his ways, in getting to know him. It's the reverse of Genesis 3. In Genesis 3, we listen to the serpent and we doubt God's word. But to fear the Lord means we listen to his voice and we trust his voice and we follow him. It takes humility. It means we might be laughed at by those around us. As we tell people that we're off to a Bible study instead of watching EastEnders, they might snigger at us or pity us. I remember the first time my brother found me reading my Bible. He was shocked. His jaw dropped and he just looked at me and he simply, all he could do is stutter, "Bible?" But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that is what it means to accept the invitation to Lady Wisdom's party. To know that our lives are in the Lord's hands. To accept that he knows best and holds the keys to life and death. So two invitations, two parties, two ways to go. All of us will hear both the call of Lady Wisdom and the Woman Folly. Heeding the first means change, but it brings life. Heeding the other means no change. We can continue living as we are, but it brings death. Do we really want to be the person who listens to the Woman Folly, who thinks we need not change? It might sound tempting, the offer of life here and now, but it isn't true life. Those who go to the Woman Folly's party, they're already dead. However, those who listen to the word of the Lord and go to the party of Lady Wisdom, those who listen out to the voice of Jesus, they are the ones who receive life. Life to the full. But they will need to leave their simple ways, to leave the company of fools, and to instead feast on the word of life, and on the last day to enjoy feasting at the heavenly banquet. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The picture here in Proverbs 9 is of Lady Wisdom inviting us to the best party in town. But the fulfillment is in Jesus Christ, and he invites us saying, "If anyone hears my voice and opens up the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Come to me, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Which invitation will we accept? Let's take a moment of silence. Lord God, you hold out the invitation to wisdom and eternal life. Help us to hear your call, to respond, and to reject the call of the Woman Folly, which only leads to death. Amen.